I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm just a lover of comedy.
And I'm
Alistair Trombley.
Happy to be here. Hello. Alistair, you know, episode 232.
Oh, no.
You know, yeah. You forgot to get a pad to write down the ideas on, and you also haven't organized the three words from the list. Is that right, Alistair?
That's right, but it doesn't matter. I have pens and paper within arm's length of where I am because,
you know, I've been
locked in my room for a few days because I had developed a cough and we weren't sure, and so I got a test and we're just waiting for it to come back.
Yeah, and as far as I'm aware, you can catch coronavirus over the airwaves. Is that right? Or only if your phone you're listening to it on your phone via 5G.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because I've been on social media so much and so many people have been giving me thumbs up.
Yeah.
That I've been catching it off their greasy mitts.
All that finger action you've been getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to develop an elbow up. If there isn't an elbow bump emoji already, what an absolute missed marketing coup for whoever it is that does the emojis.
Absolutely. I imagine there's so much money in emojis.
Yeah. What is the business model behind emojis? Who's in charge of them? And whenever they get to be new ones released, you know how they're like, you know, when you're working on, say, some sort of light news program, and you're constantly trawling bullshit websites to find some sort of new comedy news event that doesn't involve a child dying. And you know, Alistair, that so often you'll find something that's hilarious, but you can't use it because it somehow involves a child dying. But then occasionally you'll come across an emoji story about a new emoji, and sometimes that emoji isn't a dying child emoji. And that's when you know you've got yourselves a 30-second chat break at the end of a news headline read, and you take the bloody rest of the hour off and just, you know, filter messages in the Facebook inbox. Because emoji content is harmless. It's harmless.
Well, it is, and it's big business for the graphic designer who got paid $50 to make one up.
But what is the business model? What is the business model behind most stuff on your phone? Is it all just by getting our data and then selling that somehow? Like, is every app that you get for free just getting your data, just getting your location and sending it to the Kremlin?
Some of them just sell ad views.
But the ads are all for garbage. They're all for just weird stuff that you'd never has anyone ever clicked on an ad in a game?
Well,
in the calculator app?
I never have on purpose, but I think they're not paying per click. I think a lot of the time they're paying per view.
And it's just getting those eyeballs.
Getting eyeballs, you know. And it's not a lot. They're probably paying a quarter of a cent or half a cent. But over time, that adds up, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the week, you might have 6 cents.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And if you get that from every continent, 6 cents from every continent.
That's 36 cents.
That's 36 cents.
Multiplied by the number of weeks in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's $15.
So is any of this is scheduled?
He's a emoji prodigy.
Yeah.
Right. From Fiji.
Mm.
A Fiji emoji prodigy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who?
Something
is,
about a squeegee.
Whose dad ran a squeegee.
Yeah.
And he is dying.
No, we're not going to be able to do this story on the Light News program because the child is dying.
But, and that's why his emoji thing isn't going to bring in a lot of money because of the amount of weeks in his life are so. Look, this is not a sketch idea, Andy. I would almost push towards starting again.
Absolutely, we are not starting again, Alistair. This is one of the best episodes of Two in the Think Tank that we've ever had.
Wow.
No, I think it's going well, Alistair. I think it's going well. I'm interested to know. And if you don't think anything that we've come up with thus far is a sketch idea, then that's absolutely fine.
I think maybe the idea with the emojis, because it kind of does seem pretty random when they come up. Mm. It could just be that they have a computer that gives us one that just they let it decide. And it just gives us a new emoji when it thinks we need one.
Wow. Do you think
it's just keeping an eye on society.
Yes.
And then occasionally it goes, you know what? I think it needs all the hands in the right, you know, and all the skin tones.
Yeah. Well, so maybe it can somehow detect from like the state of online discourse or something when we're getting close to a thermonuclear war. And then it just releases a new emoji. One that's either, you know, exciting enough or weird enough that it'll at least just distract us, you know.
That's right. It only has one lever that it can pull.
Yes.
That's the emoji lever. But and it's crazy because you don't often see computers with a lever.
No, that they can pull.
Yeah. But it's actually a computer that also has it has a robotic arm and it can pull on the lever.
Yeah. And when it pulls on the lever, what happens?
It activates the software in the computer that creates a new emoji based on how the world is going.
But then what tells it to pull the lever? What kind of,
That's a different bit of software.
Oh, this is probably quite a good design actually, because it allows it has total electronic separation between like the two halves of its brain. One, the half of the brain that tells it that there's about to be a thermonuclear war, right? And all that half of the brain knows is that there's about to be a thermonuclear war, and that when there's about to be a thermonuclear war, it has to pull a lever. It doesn't know what the lever does. For as far as that half of the brain knows, it could be launching more nuclear weapons. It could be a retaliation machine. But
it will find out. It will find out in time. Yeah,
indeed.
Continuing to watch the world.
But what the other half of the computer does is develop new emojis. And
that's right.
It's a beautiful fusion of that could have been a coronavirus cough that the listeners just heard there.
Yeah,
that could
be. There's a chance.
It could be a death rattle, Alistair.
Yeah. Well, once I hit day 7. Anyway,
Sorry. Is this bad taste for me to laugh?
It's okay, Andy. Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, good.
I think also what the lever gives us is what, you know, to because they've given this thing AI and the ability to watch the world and make decisions, right? So even though the only decision it can make is whether or not to pull the lever, right? But what if at one point this AI goes crazy with its power and we realize that it's become, you know, self-serving and blah, 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 and it's pulling the lever nonstop for whatever reason, then you can just move the lever outside of the range of the robotic arm and that's your safety.
Yeah. Yeah, or you grease up its lever-pulling arm or something like that so its little computer fingers can't get a good grip on it and they keep slipping off.
That's right. Just really put some chips grease on its claw.
Isn't it interesting that chips like even chips in a bag, crisps, you may know them as some listeners.
No, I don't know them as that.
They seem very dry. To me, seem like a super dry thing. And yet they get that layer of oil. They still must have like actual just liquid oil in there somehow that gets onto your fingers and greases up your mobile phone screen, etc.
Oh, yeah. They're covered in oil. They would be deep fried, wouldn't they?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But I always assumed that the oil does its business, does its frying, and then leaves. But it doesn't. Does
sure.
It sticks around.
No. I mean, they would be constantly topping up that oil.
Mm.
Going to that big vat like that. Guy's like, oh, it's like, you know, and he can just picture it. As he's topping it up, he can just see it on people's fingers and they're wiping it on their shirts and on their pants. And he goes, that's my oil. That's my oil you got. Like that. And it's you and the bloody crisps. You're stealing my oil and you're wasting it.
So this guy who works at a crisp factory making crisps by boiling them in oil is also very possessive of his oil and very resentful.
It's his oil. That's his job. And every time they take oil out of his his vat, he has to go and top it up. So that's making more work for him.
Yeah,
which
you're
I guess after 25 years in the business is probably just the same amount of oil, but he's realized it's quite a constant amount of oil and he probably could get a computer to do it where, you know, they could just release oil at a certain a regular rate. But he's a perfectionist like that, right? That's the problem. And so maybe he develops a new product that goes into the chip bag, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something, you know, it could be a moon cup.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a little, like a little shot glass, maybe not rubbery, maybe a bit harder than a moon cup, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just something that you can rub all your fingers on.
Mm.
You know, rub all your fingers on and then just right on the edge of it. And just have scraped the grease off so it slides down to the bottom of this cup.
Okay.
Like that. And it's a self-adhesive cup that's already pre-stamped, the postage paid.
Yeah.
And then after, let's say, 10 bags of chips, you can just send it and he'll just take it and he'll pour it back into the vat.
Oh, I love that. That makes me feel really good thinking about that, about all the finger grease. It's being scraped down. This could be the next thing after the coffee pods, you know? Because now that they've got that system where you can mail back your little coffee pods.
Oh, really?
You know those plastic ones that aren't recycled?
Oh, I know the coffee pods. I just didn't know that you could send them back.
Yeah, you get a bag and you send them back and they do something with them, probably chuck them in a river or something like that.
hit an eagle with them or something.
Yeah.
But no, not that one. It's not endangered enough.
But then,
this one.
But this is with the finger grease, and I reckon there'd be a tidy little kickback for him as well back at his end because he's not just getting the chip grease back. He's getting a little bit of that general finger oil that you've already got there, and that's all profit for him. That's all
and
profit.
He's probably getting oil from some other chip packets as well.
Mm.
So they're actually making a profit on this, as long as they're not losing too much on the cups.
or the postage.
On the postage. But if you have a chip factory in every suburb,
yes,
people can just walk by and drop off their cup.
That's nice. It keeps it local. And then you at least know whose finger juices are boiling the chips. That you're eating, it's locals. Yeah. It's local finger juice, not some horrible greasy foreign fingers. Although greasy foreign fingers would probably be
well,
good.
Well, the best kind.
Those other greasy countries.
Yeah, and
they'd give
and
the best.
Go, oh yeah, you want the greasiest of people. When it comes to this, and I think having a chip factory in every town. I think that's perfect for sort of like a post-corona economy where we're kind of going to be a bit less international.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be making all our chips in China like we do now.
No.
Right? You know, we'll bring chip manufacturing back home.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be a local thing. It'll be a thing and they'll sponsor our soccer teams and And they'll finally get all our grease. And then maybe we could give them other types of grease that we have.
And finally, and the great thing about this being a corona thing is that we will be all essentially licking each other's fingers all the time. But it's been boiled. It's been boiled. The oil's been boiled.
It's not, and it's not boiling water boiled. This is boiling oil boiled.
Mm, boil oil. Oil boiled.
Boiled. Yeah.
Now, Alistair, I think that's a sketch idea. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Can I mention something else that occurred to me while we were talking a while ago? If you're happy to move on. Which is, we all know that people often decide to secede and become a new country.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested in what would be involved in becoming a new continent. Because
I see
Europe and Asia are joined together by land, which is a, to me, breaks the rules, the only rule of being a continent. But if you're allowed to do that, if you can be two different continents and you're joined together by land, and, you know, a big bit of land as well, not like a little bit of land like with Africa or with North and South America. Like, it's just all thick land. That's like torso.
It would certainly make it easier if you could sort of break off your bit from the tectonic plate.
Mm.
Mm. You know? So maybe if you could sort of like dynamite up an area around your bit of land.
Yep.
But dynamite it down real low. Mm. Right? And you could prove that your bit is separate by blasting it, and that your bit kind of slowly sinks, like into the sort of the mantle of the earth.
Yeah,
I think people would be like, you know what, you can have it. You know, and that way it'll avoid conflict.
Yeah, you'll have a good negotiating position.
But what you've maybe done is like maybe created a floor so that maybe you go 100 meters down, right, and so you still got sunlight, and then you're 100 meters down. You can still build some really tall buildings. You can still have a pretty good continent.
So you've sort of turned into like a bowl almost. Is that right?
I think it's a sharper drop than that. You know, I think it's more like a big well.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. You've taken it down a notch. I think that maybe the way to do it, you know, because the Earth is basically an egg.
Yeah.
And I think that if we did want to, like, crack the crust of the Earth like that, the thing to do would be to find some kind of space bowl and tap the Earth on the edge of that.
Oh, yeah.
And get that little...
I guess we could carve out one of the moons in our solar system.
Mm.
And kind of get the edge relatively rounded off there, kind of.
I think it would have to be a bigger planet than us.
Okay.
To get,
could be one of the moons of Jupiter that's probably bigger than us.
Do you think that that's the case? Do you think that Jupiter has moons that are bigger than the Earth?
I don't know.
We'd know about that. Surely that would be in the news every day if that was the case.
one of the moons of Jupiter is still bigger than Earth.
Look, I don't know if this new continent thing is
I've got an idea.
Yeah, tell me.
There's also the possibility that, I mean, if you look at sort of, let's say, Europe and Asia.
Mm.
Okay, wait, just letting you know that Ganymede, Jupiter's moon.
Ganymede?
It's the largest, eh?
Ganymede.
Ganymede? That doesn't feel like that's how that would be pronounced. there's a chance.
Is there? You're giving me a
chance.
There's
a chance, but if it's like Latin or Greek, Ganymede feels like that would be closer to how they would say it.
Yeah,
but,
okay. Well, it's really interesting that this is about
anyway,
what it feels
Andy,
like.
You've got
to
such a great track record of naming Jupiter's planets. anyway, there's nobody from the podcast knows this already, but anyway. Forget it. larger than Mercury and Pluto and only slightly smaller than Mars. So not bigger than Earth.
But I was absolutely
the largest satellite in the solar system.
But I think that's pretty good. Only slightly smaller than Mars. That's sizable.
Mm.
That's impressive.
I think if we were looking for a planet to bring closer to Earth so that we could just kind of use up its resources and stuff like that.
Mm, suck it dry. Just drain it.
Which I was thinking could be a project of the engineers.
Yeah, the magma guys.
Ganymede, maybe, or Ganymede.
Mm, one or the other.
One or the other. Mm. And I think that would be a good idea. Anyway, okay. So the other continent idea that we could take is that if you look at Europe and Asia, the continents, not the bands, the one other thing that kind of makes them different, and I'm not sure if this is why they're considered different continents, is I reckon it might partially be because people look different.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, I reckon they made those they named those continents ages ago. Mm-hmm. And that might be the kind of thing that they would base continent distribution on.
On what people look like.
That people look different, therefore it's not even the same continent.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. So a way to get a fresh continent, you're thinking, is that we could all change what we look like.
That's right. But it has to be consistent.
Mm.
Or the people in the west of it can look different to the people in the east, but overall they all have to look different to the people in the continent you're separating from.
Yeah, yeah, radically different, right? You don't want there to be any ambiguity.
And later on, obviously, there can be mixing.
Yep.
Your people can mix in with everybody, and the other people can mix in with this your new continent.
Mm.
But I'm just saying, at the beginning, it's going to be crude like this.
I can tell you what would be pretty good for avoiding mixing, if you wanted that. And I think maybe this is an idea that the white supremacists could get on board with, is that if they're worried about preserving the purity of the white race, they could all just cut their noses off, right?
See, that's good.
And I think that'd have a... because I don't think you really need your nose, right? But if you did cut your nose off,
yeah,
it would reduce the chances of anybody wanting to dilute your DNA, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I think they wouldn't dilute it. Yeah. I think you're right.
It's a real,
You know what it would make? I think it would make, for them, you know, not that we're trying to find advantages, but so you're saying that the new continent that you want to create is sort of like a place for the white race to go.
Well, no. What I want,
do you think they should have a land for themselves?
Maybe is, I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about a place. I don't think that the white race needs its own place, but I also wouldn't be too upset if the people who do think that the white race needs its own place all went away. You know,
sure, yeah, like an island. Or something.
One way for that to happen is for them all to have their own place.
That's true,
and. I probably wouldn't go, especially if they had no noses. But anyway,
what if somebody cut off your nose and then they sent you there?
Yeah, see, that'd
somebody
be rough.
Somebody in the night comes to your house and cuts off your nose in the night. There's a struggle, obviously.
Everyone's going to think I'm a white supremacist.
Yeah, everyone's going to think you're a white supremacist, and then... you're gonna be, you know, sent out there, and then you're gonna have to go live there, and then you're probably gonna want your family to come, and so then they're gonna all have to get their noses cut off. Do you think you'd abandon your family then in that case, or do you think you'd let them be, or do you think you'd make them come?
I think I'd probably cut them loose. I'd probably give them their freedom and say, look,
cut them or just their noses loose?
No, just their noses. I'd take their noses with me to the island, and I would leave them behind. No, I I would give my family, I would say, no, I don't want you to come. And I want you to keep your noses and forget about me and my hideous, hideous face.
You know what would be the one benefit of the no noses thing?
Mm.
You could have straight on, face to face, no interruption, kissing.
Yep. Yep. You're absolutely right.
But then you could also, you'd get a much better whiff of what the scent of somebody's sinus cavity is like.
Yeah, kissing, you'd also then, like, it wouldn't just be mouth to mouth. It would be exposed facial nose hole to exposed facial nose hole. Breathing in and out, circular breathing through one another's. Keeping it all in there, one to one. And I think the white supremacists would like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
do you think they would use the opportunity of circular breathing to play the didgeridoo?
I doubt it. Given their other philosophies, I think that seems unlikely to me. You know what else this would introduce? And this is going to sound, this is going to be horrible, Alistair.
Mm-hmm.
Is a new kind of 69ing. A new little micro 69 where you have your tongue in their nostril holes.
Of course, yeah.
They have.
Wait. Oh, so it's a head, head only 69.
It's a full head. Yeah, just head to head 69.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, that could have happened with Spider-Man. And when Mary Jane, when he was upside down. Like that.
You know what? That is the exact imagery that came to my mind as well when I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'd be hot. I think if this island ever introduced their own version of Spider-Man, if they ever developed their own white supremacist Spider-Man on this island and made a movie of it.
White supremacist Spider-Man. We can't come up with any original ideas. We just have to do white supremacist versions.
Well, again, I'm not convinced that original ideas are exactly high on their list of priorities.
Sure.
In that group. We're very open-minded. We're very progressive. But we are white supremacists. Yes. Anyway.
Well, you know, all right. No, look, I didn't put a lot of thought into what I had to say because I don't like to put a lot of thought into things. Just I'm a white supremacist, that's it. I mean, now that we have our own continent, I feel like I've achieved everything that I've ever wanted.
Mm. Yes, it is 100 metres down, but...
Getting my own place and obviously getting my nose cut off. That was my second dream. So that I could head only 69. Much better than regular 69ing. You're less busy. You know? With this one you feel like you can stop any time because there's nothing that you're trying to achieve.
What's what do you people like about the 69ing? They like the sort of inverted look of it. They like the yin yang element. Obviously, not something that we like. Whatever the white version of yin yang is, that's what we like. But it has that pleasing form.
Yes,
and
that's right. The lock in thing.
Yes,
kind of makes your head look a bit like a keyhole.
Anyway, that's enough about
an exclamation point.
White supremacists, I suppose.
Yeah, I've written it down. New continent, no nose.
Yeah, no nose. It's a real no
nose. Andy's white supremacist land.
Yeah, thanks. I've been thinking of starting a tweet. I've been doing a lot of Twitter recently, Alistair. And I've been flirting with just pointless stuff to get engagement, right? That'll just get people following me or retweeting me or whatever, and I don't care if it's good or funny or original or anything like that. I just want the engagement now. That's all I need, just the hit of that. But I was thinking one about where people tweet pictures of how their spice rack. Do you think feels like the kind of bullshit people would get on board with, right?
Just, oh, absolutely.
You know, tweet a picture
they
of your spice rack.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. And everyone would do it. And they'd be like some people who've got it really organized. And they'd be like, I guess I'm a little bit of a spice organized freak. And then there'd be other people who'd have messy ones. And everyone would tweet it. They'd be like, oh, how do you live like that? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What about like take a photo of how long your gross toenails are? How long have you left it? Like that. Do you think that's one?
Yeah. What about one where like go to your plug hole in your bathroom and pull out the glob of hair and tweet us a picture of that and just see. Yeah. Or like even make a video.
Take a photo. Take a
of
shit
you
on
pulling
the patio.
It out. What's that?
Yeah. I said take a shit on the patio and take a photo of it.
What about pull the globule out of your bath hole and then film you putting that in your mouth? What about that?
Yes.
Just lowering it down into your gob.
Lowering it down.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So how about that scene from Bad Boys, right? Martin Lawrence is pretending to be, he's got Tia Leone with him. She's in witness protection. But Martin Lawrence, for some reason, is pretending to be Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry, yep.
That's right. He says, I'm Mike Lowry, like that, right? He's walking around, he's talking, and instead of, there's a point where he goes to the bed, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's the bed. You feel all the lumps in the bed? That's from all that, like that, right? And that's him. But it's that, right?
Yeah.
But it's Martin Lawrence and Tia Leone, but with a clump of hair that they've pulled out of the drain.
Yeah.
And he's like, feel the lumps in that.
Mm.
That's from all that. And then he pretends he air humps a little bit. Is that a sketch? No, it's not, is it?
No, but I feel like there is something in this clump, this clump. It to me is like the closest thing to something from a nightmare that we spend the closest amount of time to. Like we stand there over that thing, naked and exposed.
Absolutely.
And if anything in the entire house were to be the embodiment of some kind of an evil death spirit, it would probably be that clump.
Oh, I think drains is also where like superbugs live.
Mm, mm.
Like I think I remember hearing that like all the hospitals, they just have superbugs living in their drains, but there's nothing they can do. Anyway, so what about this? You get that clump and you got to take the nicest photo you can of you and your clump. And the more hideous the clump and the better the photo.
The better the photo. The winner. Yeah. I think that could be something, Alistair. Yeah. Yeah. Like you could arrange it, you could lay it out on a little chair or something like that.
Sculpt it,
get some little rose petals or something like that. And it'd be called the hashtag would be pimp your clump.
Yep.
You got to make that clump look good.
I think pimp my clump.
Mm. Because you know that's the problem with the whole pimp my ride.
Is that concept. Cars already look quite nice.
Cars already look good, and it's a good blank slate. You know, whatever car you bring in, you know, you put enough flat screen TVs in it, it's going to look good, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, you could
doesn't matter how bad
flat screen TVs.
bad the car is, you keep cramming flat screen TV after flat screen TV into that car, eventually you got yourself a real pimpmobile.
But if you got a big stain or something like that, sure, just put a CRT screen on it.
Mm-hmm.
Old school.
This clump?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, no. You can't even mount a single flat screen TV on it.
There's no structural integrity.
I guess you could sort of put beads, you could braid it and put beads over it.
I suppose you could. I think if you took it to a skilled enough hairdresser.
Craft artist.
Mm. Well, that could be a reality TV show, I think, where we get, you know, the best hairdressers in the world, your Tony and Guys, you know, your other ones. And we give them, you know, we get an egg, you know, and we pull out that clump and we plonk it on top of the egg. And
what
then
about
we,
that guy from Queer Eye?
Yeah, we plonk it on top of him, right?
Yeah.
And then we give them some clippers, some nail scissors, and half an hour.
And we say, just a little bit off the top.
Yeah. We see what they come up with.
Yeah. I think if they gave the clump a full makeover.
Mm.
Not just the hair, because there's other things in there too. You know, like the fashion guy works the lint balls.
Mm. Yep. The cooking guy.
I know this is turning into Queer Eye for the clump. But give a clump, make it like everybody is so disgusted by it, make it okay to be in society so that you could have it in a nice part of your house.
Yeah, you're right. Not hanging down the bottom of the drain.
Have like, a dinner with you.
In the middle of the dining table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least sitting at one of the chairs.
Are you...
My thought is heading towards make a son out of your clump.
Yeah, of course. You know,
but, you know,
a lot of the time you find that these people, they're in a rut, you know. And what is the drain but a bottomless rut? And you got to respect the clump for the way that it hangs on to the little drain holes. Doesn't give up. It's hard to break off some of those strands.
It's like Sylvester Stallone in Cliffhanger,
yeah,
which I haven't seen, but in the poster.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, that's the clump. That's the pimp my clump.
Or Queer Eye for the clump.
Yeah. Yeah, which of course just makes me think of the movie Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Yeah.
I
was listening to some poets the other day discussing one of their poems.
Mm.
And one of them was talking about how she had the word nose in it, and another poet had advised her, got to take that word nose out because nose is too funny. Nose is a funny word. And then the other poet was like, yeah, nose is funny. And I love that because it's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do when we write something. And they're like, got to get out of that. It's too comical. That's a really funny word.
So they're poets trying to, I guess, well, their kind of job is to be serious, isn't it?
Well, on certain things, yeah. Like some of them are trying to be funny. The other guy was a former U.S. poet laureate, Billy Collins, and he's really funny and very dry.
And so when they said, look, if you're taking the word nose out of that poem, can I have it for one of my poems?
But he was the one like, nose is funny. Nose is funny.
So what you're saying is that this poet had to cut their nose off.
That's right, and they had to go to their own land for their people.
Yeah, and the word nose is funny, and taking it out makes things more serious. And the human nose is funny, and cutting it off does probably make you look more serious.
Yeah, it definitely does. It kind of makes you look like that Red Skull villain from Captain America.
Yeah, very serious guy. You started watching a bit of Marvel movies, have you, Alistair?
No, this was a couple of years ago when I really had a go. And then I was like, oh my God, most of these are just the same thing over and over again.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Yes,
they absolutely are. And is that a problem?
No. Yeah, it was a huge problem. It was, but I did watch Thor Ragnarok, so I kind of skipped ahead. I watched like the first two, and then I skipped ahead and just watched Thor Ragnarok, and I thought that was funny because it seemed like every scene was supposed to be funny, and I liked that. And then I haven't gone back, really. I think for some reason Doctor Strange appeals to me.
Yeah, but it at least looks pretty cool. But it's hard knowing how, like, I think that the standard for what passes for comedy in those movies is so bad, mostly, right?
Well, but even what passes for comedy in some comedies, I watched a Tina Fey and the other gal's movies.
Amy Poehler?
With her sisters, Amy Poehler. And the amount of situations in which all they did, instead of having a joke or something funny, is they just said something in a kind of like black voice or something, like, you know, said gangsta like that, and I was like, oh, is that the whole thing? That's their, like, it feels like they're supposed to be two of the people at the forefront right now.
Yeah, well, maybe not right now, maybe like they were making this 7 years ago.
Yeah.
30 Rock we've been rewatching a bit recently.
Yeah,
and it does have a lot of jokes in it. You know.
Yeah, that's really funny. That's very good.
It's
because it is just jokes, and
yeah, absolutely.
It's not there to like be like, well, there's some very important deep story. Even the story is still there as well, though. But yeah,
and they definitely like push the boundary of what is probably acceptable. Like, I don't know if maybe it's aged already a lot of the stuff, but I'm like, oh, some of this feels a little bit racist, or.
Yeah.
Or something. Anyway.
But also, I think America is a little bit... I think there's a way in which they can address race a little bit more than we do here.
Yeah, definitely. Because...
Just because I think everybody's a little bit more integrated than maybe here. Anyway, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, we haven't done great, have we?
No.
No. How many sketch ideas have we got, Alistair? Sorry to ask.
We've only got four. You're not going to believe that.
Sorry to sound so desperate when I ask. Alistair, that's totally fine. I can handle it. Let's see.
Hang on. I just got a text that is from Melbourne Pathology.
Oh, Alistair.
Melbourne Pathology. All right. Dear Alistair, reference 35923402. Result, COVID-19 virus was not detected.
This is breaking news, Alistair.
Wait, it says, if in isolation, continue isolation until advised by your doctor that no further testing is required. What? If not in isolation, report any subsequent symptoms to your doctor as repeat testing may be required. Well, okay.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that you can still record Magma when we go to film it on Friday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay, great. Great.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, it's not detected, Alistair. To be honest, you're probably more safer to be around than I am. You, at this point, you know you don't have it. You're more likely now to catch it from me, who hasn't even been tested, than I am from you.
That's right.
You're in a good position. You're almost invincible.
I'm trying to be.
We could start a new continent entirely just of people who have been tested for for coronavirus, you know.
Well, and cut off their noses.
And cut off their noses, yes.
But no, but we're going to need them in society. They're going to be the immunes.
Mm, oh, that's true. We do need that, don't we?
So to get rid of all of them, then we're just kind of, we're getting rid of all the people who don't spread the disease.
But then isn't there a kind of a liberal and right-wing neo-libertarian kind of idea where it's like, why should my immunity help other people who haven't, you know, worked hard enough to develop their own immunity? I'm sick of all these freeloaders living off my antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
And
hallelujah.
And that they haven't taken the time to develop themselves. They don't know what I've been through.
That's right. Well, so but then you have to go to this. So then you are this libertarian, but then you got to go to this other land where nobody benefits from your immunity.
Mm.
But you have to start society from zero.
Yes.
So that you're not benefiting from the joint effort of society that you've created. So you go, well, you know, I don't, obviously, you know, my strong beliefs, I feel like that I should, nobody should rely on me. Mm. But also, I guess, equally, I shouldn't be relying on others. So and then they go to this desert and he has to just start from zero.
Yeah, but I suppose also then you would have to have your memory erased, right? And like even forget how to walk and become basically a vegetable. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you think about your parents have done all that work to teach you those things. You've benefited probably from, you know, elements of free education, that sort of thing, whatever's available in your state, that sort of thing. So there should be an island where we can dump the vegetative bodies of true libertarians and they can truly become self-made men.
Enough electricity, you know, passed through the head would do a good job like that.
I think it'd be a great start, yes.
And then
that electricity for free. You know, that is.
See, that's nice. That's your last. It's an act of generosity.
Yeah.
From society.
And we won't even count that. That electricity that you got for nothing, which we had to generate, you know. But here you go. Off you go to your island. No clothes, obviously. No body fat. We suctioned that all out because we knew you wouldn't want to live off, you know, that ill-gotten body fat.
So it's just a bunch of people just going, like, what am I doing here? Or I guess they don't speak English anymore either.
No. They can't speak English. They're not allowed. So they'd be sort of groaning.
I know this is a bad word, but do you think it's like it's like the new savages?
I don't know what that is.
Well, savages is a word that I was considering. You know, considering kind of...
Oh, right, yes, sorry. Yeah, right. I thought you were referring to like a TV show, sort of like Survivor or something called Savages.
No, but what we're... It's like we're creating the new savages. Mm. They're libertarians who truly want to depend upon themselves and not have anybody rely on them. And then you make them not have any more knowledge or language.
Yes.
And then you put them on an island so that everybody's a bit like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
And I think that it would be a mistake for us not to film this with secret cameras and turn it into a Survivor type show.
Survivor. And I guess we could, do you think we could give them a book on libertarianism so they get to return to being back a little, if they can figure out the code of language?
Mm.
They get to go back to being libertarians, or do you think that's too much?
Well, no, I like that the book's there in the middle of the island. Obviously laminated
like it or something.
But I think they would be, if they managed to survive, they would be self-made men. I mean, it'd be interesting to see whether or not they develop a society, wouldn't it?
That's right. It would be great.
Because you can't do these experiments with children. That's unethical. But it's not unethical to do it on libertarians.
They're basically asking for it.
And it'll be called Liberty Island.
Oh, I see. That's good.
Yeah. No,
what about Libertarian Island?
Great, even better. Yes.
There probably already is an island called Liberty Island. It's probably where the Statue of Liberty is.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's almost like I knew.
What about this? They go into the Statue of Liberty and they put some grease in it or whatever, some foam, and they bring it to life and they are allowed to walk it through New York City.
I like it, Alistair. Yeah. Combining several elements that have already come up on this episode. Grease. Mm-hmm. Bringing sort of evil spirits to life. And
bring
Liberty
evil
Island.
To life? What was the evil spirit we...
I talked about the clump in the plug hole potentially happening. Alistair,
I gotta admit though, this clump thing as well, that is the greatest and the highest level of self love as well. Because that's not only a part of your body that you have discarded, but also one that you now vomit at the sight of. You know, you kind of are absolutely disgusted at. And so to take care of it, that is to take care of yourself.
Yes. That's really true. Yeah. You got to love your clump before you can love another.
Yeah. Okay. Pardon me. I'm just going to go find three words from a listener.
Oh, no, Alistair. You're pardoned. You have my full pardon.
I can't believe this.
You have begged it of me, and so it shall be had.
Begged it of me. All right, we've got one from Amory Emerson.
Amory. Thank you, Amory. Are you a new supporter of the podcast?
I believe Amory is a new supporter. Amory, thank you. God bless you. And Clump, bless you. Thank you for your support. And Amory's three words are inventions. By.
Yes.
And do you want to guess the last word?
Inventions by legs?
No, Andy, but surprisingly close. It's the same amount of letters, and the last two letters are right.
Dogs?
It is dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
Inventions by dogs.
Yeah,
that's really good. Yeah, the way it's phrased, it makes me think of a perfume, you know, sort of like Desire by
dogs.
Chanel or something. Inventions by dogs.
Well, I mean, in a way, if it was a perfume, because dogs often do communicate through scent.
Yeah.
Right, but most perfumes are there. They're advertised that this perfume will make you attractive to the other sex, right? And so they're named accordingly. Desire, CK1, right? But this one, they're saying a CK1. Dog has made this. I laughed at this by myself minutes ago.
Great.
And this one is designed by dogs. But it isn't to make you attractive to the other sex. It's to give you new ideas for things you could make in your garage.
You know what I like about this, Alistair? For too long, we have tested cosmetics on animals, but they have not been designed by animals or tested by animals. And this That's is right. really. It's about time we redress the balance. We've had God knows how many years, maybe 100 years of testing cosmetics on animals. I say they deserve 100 years of testing them on us. And
that's right. Well, and also, especially if, I mean, there's a chance that a dog sniffed this. This could be why they're always sniffing things. And they had an idea for their first invention. From sniffing this, it was this perfume. It was bottling up this smell and letting them see. And this is the story. It says on the back of the box, right? And it's a dog, and he's, you know, he's wearing a beret, and he's got a pipe coming out of his mouth, and he's being fed grapes, and he's laying down.
I think there's a – sorry, do you want to finish your thought?
No, Indy. It was actually, it run out of steam.
Well, I think though, but I am interested in the idea of perfumes for non-partner attracting purposes, right? Yeah. Because nobody has explicitly marketed a business perfume, right? One that a man can apply to attract the attention of a wealthy investor, or even of just someone else who works in his office on something that might make a good synergy with his division of the company, you know. I think the ads would play out, quite beautifully, of just like one businessman about to go into a meeting, nervously applying some perfume, going in, and we see the reactions of the other partners at the law firm as they react to this odor, and the odor is, you know, it's called synergy, or it's called,
you know what I think, it's
integration.
A perfume that makes you smell like a sucker.
Okay. Right?
And it attracts big, you know, big businesses who are like, oh, we're going to be able to take advantage of this guy.
Yeah.
The red mist comes down. They're like, oh, I can't wait to sink my teeth into this sucker, like that. And then prey and predators, you know, they come together. And then you got them where you want them, because they're watching your presentation in anticipation of thinking that they're going to make a ton of money out of you.
Mm-hmm. It's called Weakness by Calvin Klein.
By Dog.
By Dog. It's D-O-G. It's not Dog. It's D-O-G. D-O-G absolutely seems like it could be a perfume company. Dolce O Gabbana. Who wouldn't want to buy one of their smells?
You know Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah, I know him.
Do you think we're good friends. Is that the only dog you know of? Like,
it's the only person who's officially known as Dog. Like, you know, you're my dog, obviously, Alistair.
This is the problem, is that, like, if I wanted to call my son, my new son, who's gone on its way, Dog, you know, like with Otis, everybody asks, is he named after Otis Redding? I go, we were aware of Otis Redding, right there, you know? If I call my son Dog, everyone's going to be like, did you name him after Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
I know.
So really, like, if you want to be able to call your son Dog, you've really got to call someone else Dog first, so that you can that he's named after that dog.
I could adopt a kid.
Yes.
Then call
him Dog.
Dog.
Just so you could call your other son Dog. I mean, in a way, you've made a rod for your own back. You've got perhaps more problems than you had to begin with. Now you have two dogs. You're a two-dog household.
Yeah.
But it's a small price to pay for the joy of being able to call your son Dog, having to call a different son Dog. Alistair, do you want to take us through the sketches, if we can call them that?
It's a weird
one that we've come up with today.
I think you can tell when I've had my finger in every single one of the sketches, and I've left a mark on each one of them.
And I love it. A greasy chip stain finger mark.
I didn't scrape my finger. Yeah. All right. So we've got the AI computer that gives the world that sort of watches the world and just outputs an emoji when it thinks that we need it, just random.
We could connect this directly to the to the doomsday clock. At the moment, the
Absolutely.
Doomsday clock doesn't have any output, you know, doesn't have any sort of functional armatures or actuators of any kind. It's just
to be honest,
clock.
It just makes us feel bad.
Yeah.
Then we got, do you think, you know, like the doomsday clock feels like it should have moved pretty recently, but I feel like they're like, they don't need that right now.
I think at this point, changing the doomsday clock would actually might
bring
tip,
us
the thing
we'd have
us
to move it
edge.
Twice. Yeah. We got the chip oil recovery guy who's just like, look, I'm sick of filling up this oil in this vat. And so he's sent out some little cups.
That's recycling. So that's the purest of all possible recycling.
Absolutely. And then he could probably, I mean, oil and plastic are probably not that dissimilar from each other when you melt them down. Anyway.
You know what? I think it'd be good to invent a chip packet that is shaped like a cone, right? It's just a cone all the way down.
Yeah.
So that like halfway, you know how hard it is to get the little crumbs out of the corners of a chip packet? Well, what if it was all that corner? You know, and you get about.
So it's a one. It's like a one-sided, one-sided cone.
Yeah. You can't even reach
like as in. So like instead of like kind of being flat at the top like a cornetto, it's just kind of like a bulbous sphere that then comes to a triangular point or like a rounded off point.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah, I kind of like that actually. Because then it only has one corner. Mm. You know, like there's square pyramids and there's triangular pyramids.
Mm.
Could you have a spherical pyramid?
How would that not just be a cone?
Well, because a cone has a flat bottom.
Right. So what is this? This has a sphere on the bottom, so it's balancing, sort of like a...
Well, no, it can't balance. It'll just fall on its side. It kind of looks like an ice cream cone with the ice cream in it.
Mm. There are no unstable buildings, you know, or no deliberately...
There are only unstable people.
There are no deliberately unstable buildings built so that they are constantly on the verge of tipping. And I think that could be something. Anyway.
Great.
Moving on.
No, I hear you. I guess one of those clowns that you punch and then it bounces back up.
Yeah, we've got one of those.
Do you?
A
I love
one.
Those.
We got
those
a little one.
Of the, those are
the
one
boys
of the best
it.
Things. Yeah,
it's,
of course.
But it's a pocket-sized one.
Oh, it's not big enough.
The box when it arrived said, on the box it says, perfect for all occasions. Pocket-sized Bozo the Clown, perfect for all occasions. And I don't know, I feel like they've slightly over-egged it. I mean, it's really handy,
small?
But...
How small is it? How high has it come up?
It's about 6 inches.
That's way too small.
Yeah.
They under-egged it.
Okay. You don't think it's perfect for all occasions, clearly.
Yeah. They bloody over-egged it. Doom, 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 doom.
Have you read doom, us all? The, doom, you haven't doom, read us all doom, the sketch doom. Ideas, Alistair.
Oh, no. We've got New Continent, No Nose, White Supremacist Land.
Yeah, great.
Andy's White Supremacist Land. We've got Pimp My Clump or
yes.
Queer Eye for the Clump, where it's just you go and get your clump and you show self love to it. So that, and people take nice photos. With their clump, and it's just a great thing. Another thing to bring us all together during these
tough
times.
I love that reveal at the end; would be so good.
Like at the end of what's that? What was that one where people
the
got
extreme
makeover?
Yeah,
yeah, that was great. They walk out, they throw the clump out onto the floor, or they could get a waiter with one of those topped dishes.
Mm.
Everybody's sitting around dinner table and they reveal the clump. They got Libertarian Island, which is people who, I guess, it doesn't really have to do it to do with them having immunity. They could just,
no,
they could
it's
just
got
zap
nothing
libertarians.
To do with immunity.
Yeah. They can be fully self-sufficient. And we got Weakness by DOG, it's a business perfume that...
Yes.
That makes you smell like a sucker, and it attracts investors.
Sharks.
Real sharks. And then we've got adopt a kid called dog so that you can call your new baby dog.
Love it. Love it that made the pad. All right, Alistair. I think it's time for... Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. We really do appreciate it. And thanks
I
for
really
sticking
do.
With us through this difficult time of remote recording.
We appreciate that.
I hope it's been still a valid experience for you, the listener.
And I was glad that you guys could all be there for me finding out that I don't have COVID-19.
Yeah, yeah, that was real special. They got to be a part of that. Alistair, you have a new podcast, is that right?
Well, it's not a real podcast.
I think it is. I think it's The Realist.
What's it called? I just made a dumb little thing. You'd have to find it on my Twitter.
A group of white guys is called a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. And I did one episode. It goes for about 7 minutes, and it's on Podbean. But I think if I want people to listen to it, I would actually have to put it on a proper thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also Shusher. There's a new Shusher up. I'm trying to be more regular again with Shusher. And you can also, you know, just follow Andy on things. He's at Stupid Old Andy on Twitter. And I'm at Alistair Tibby, and we're at Two and Tank. We're at Two and Tank on Instagram. Also, you can support us on Patreon. It's been helping immensely. People have supported us so much that it has been taking my breath away.
Yes.
Which is why I got tested for COVID-19. Because
and we're going to start doing some recorded sketches.
Yeah, we're going to try and do a little thing. We're not sure which way we're going to record it yet. Like if it's going to be for, it shouldn't just be for Patreon. I think it should just be go on the regular
feed. Everybody. Yeah.
Because I think that's the people on the Patreon are helping out everybody, and it's the one socialist thing. They're good people. They're unbelievable good people. So I guess we got to go.
Andy's
computer's going to run out of batteries.
Love.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.